谢上帝。
Thanks be to God。
今天我们要开始讲第八章。
We will begin chapter 8 today。
第八章就要提到这个预备，明白为什么需要新约的问题。
The chapter 8 tells us to prepare ourselves to understand why do we need the New Testament。
我们大家看第八章第一节到第六节。
Chapter 8 verses 1-6。
翻到了，我们一同开始。
Let us read it together。
我们所讲的是其中第一要紧，就是我们有这样的大祭司，已经坐在天上至大者的宝座右边，在圣主就是真帐幕里做这事。这帐幕是主所知的，不是人所知的。凡大祭司都是为献油和祭物设立的，所以这位大祭司也必须有所献。他落在地上必不得为祭司，因为已经有照律法献礼物的祭司，他们供奉的是本是天上的形状和影像，正如摩西将要造帐幕的时候蒙上帝境界他说，你要谨慎做各样的物件都要照着在山上指示你的样子。如今耶稣所得的责任是更美的，正如他做了更美之约的中保，这又言是比着更美之应许离的。如今耶稣所得的责任是更美的，正如他做了更美之约的中保，这又言是凭着更美的应许离的。
Verse 6, but the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises.
我们低头祷告。
Let us pray.
主啊，我再次恭敬把这一堂的聚会交托给你。你是耶和华以勒，你为我们预备的恩典够我们用，你为我们的预备的力量够我们用。我们感谢你，你是以便以谢的上帝，直到今日你帮助我们。你是我们的主，我们的好处不在你以外。你是我们的依靠，你是我们的磐石。我们把一切荣耀归给你。如今你赐福每个到你面前来的人，好叫我们到你面前以谦卑受教的心，以渴慕真理的耳朵领受你的话语，好叫我们回去的时候，因为我们对你大大张口，你就给我们充满。因为我们饥渴慕义，你就使我们得着饱足。求主你赐福你无用的仆人，你用托住万能的手托住他，给他没有折扣，把你的真理传讲清楚，在人软弱上显出你恩典的完全。你给翻译你一将你同感一灵，二人如同一人，把你的真道传讲清楚，使我们明白这一段的圣经，我们也就明白那你全本圣经中间新旧又之间的关系。我们感谢你，愿主你自己使你的儿子耶稣基督被高举起来，在我们的生命中间被显伟大。我们感谢赞美，求主捆绑撒旦，吩咐他离开这个地方，不让他在我们中间的一点点丝毫搅扰的工作，因为他在你里面便是毫无所有。我们感谢赞美，奉主耶稣基督得胜的尊名求你，阿们。好，谢谢。上个礼拜我们思想到基督为大祭司，与世界上的祭司是完全不一样的。
Last week we meditated on the fact that Jesus is different from all other priests on earth.
因为世界的祭司没有一个是启示而立的。
Because earthly priests are not set apart by oath.
但耶稣基督是上帝绝不后悔凭着启示所立的祭司。
But Jesus was set by the Lord who has sworn and will never change his mind.
世界的祭司，他们的侍奉是不能长远的。
Earthly priests do not have a ministry that will last forever.
因为时日把他们的工作结束了。
Because they will be stopped by death.
也就有别人继续他们祭司的工作。
And they need other people to take over their jobs.
所有的祭司自己有软弱。
All the priests are weak.
他们自己有罪恶。
They were sinful.
所以他们在献祭的时候，先要为自己赎罪，然后才替百姓赎罪。
And before they give sacrifices, they have to sacrifice for themselves first.
耶稣基督不是如此。
But this was not the case of Jesus.
这一位基督，
this Christ,
他献祭的工作
in the work of sacrifice,
远远超过旧约里面的所有祭司的工作
far surpasses the work of all Old Testament priests,
因为他的等次不是亚伦的后裔的等次
because he is not in the order of Aaron,
他的等次那是像麦基洗德永远为大祭司
But he is under the order of Melchizedek forever.
这样他就长远合作为我们祈求。
In this manner, he lives forever to intercede for us.
不但是我们的罪得到赦免
，Not only our sins forgiven,
是我们得救的救恩可以因他的拯救到底永远的保障。
And because he is able to save us to the end, we have guarantee in our salvation.
当基督徒思想的这样一个救主的时候
，When a Christian thinks about such a savior,
我们的心得到莫大的安慰。
We are comforted in our hearts.
当基督徒也默想耶稣基督的时候
，When we think about Jesus Christ,
我们不但在今世，我们在永恒中间有绝对的把握。
Not only do we have confidence in this life, but for all eternity.
到第八章的时候
，When we reach chapter 8,
希伯来书的作者。更进一步的提到
，The author of Hebrew went into detail.
这一个祭司的侍奉与地上的侍奉是不一样的。
To show us the difference between this priest and earthly priest.
因为这个大祭司是坐在上帝至高的上帝的右边。
Because this high priest sits on the right hand of God Almighty.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
所以他的服事是在神面前的服事。
His ministry is therefore before God.
是在神宝座的右边永远坐着。
On the right hand of God forever.
这个坐在右边的意思我们已经讲过了。
We have already talked about being seated on the right hand.
第一章还有其他的圣经都提过了。
We see this in chapter 1 and other passages.
包含三大的意义。
There are three meanings.
表示他所献的祭物已经蒙了悦纳。
It means the object of sacrifice have been accepted.
他可以坐在父神的右边。
And so he could sit on the right hand.
第二样，耶稣坐在上帝的右边。
The second thing regarding the sitting on the right.
表示他在战场里面是得胜的主。
It means that he is the victorious Lord in the battlefield.
正像将军打仗胜了以后回来就坐在王的右边。
When a general wins his battle, he sits on the right hand of a king.
这是特殊的地位。
This is a unique position.
第三样，耶稣坐在父的右边什么意思呢？
What does it mean thirdly for Jesus to sit on the right?
上帝把权柄赐给他。
It means God gave him the authority.
他是神所认可的掌权者。
He is the recognized person with authority.
因为他蒙悦了。
Because he has been accepted.
因为他打胜仗。
He has been victorious.
因为他得到权柄。
Because he has the authority.
所以他成为我们的中保，就是我们一个很大很大的一个喜乐。
And we have great joy because of this. He becomes our mediator.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
所以我们每次思想耶稣基督的时候
，Every time we think about Jesus Christ，
我记得这一位中保。这一位救主是与人间的祭司完完全全不一样。
We know that this mediator, this savior, is completely different from the priest of the earth.
那么耶稣在天上的时候
，When Jesus is in the heavens,
他在真帐幕里面服事。
He is serving in the true sanctuary.
所以这个真帐幕这个字
，This true sanctuary,
就给我们看见真正的真实的本体不是在世界上。
It tells us that the truth, the essence of the truth, is not on earth.
这亚文子孙们做大祭司的时候，他们的侍奉不是那真正永恒性、上帝原定的计划的侍奉。
The descendants of Aaron served in a plan that is not in the eternal original plan of God.
所以现在就把耶稣基督在真帐幕里面服侍上帝的这句话提出来了。
And here we see Jesus Christ serving in the true sanctuary.
这个帐幕不是人手所支搭起来的。
This sanctuary is not made by the hand of man.
神自己的手所支搭起来的。
But made in the, by the hand of God himself.
这样的就给我们看见旧约里面的侍奉，旧约里面的帐幕原不是永恒性的。
Here we see Old Testament ministry and tabernacle not to be of the original.
耶稣基督是进到那真正的永恒的，在神面前，在天上帐幕里面的侍奉上帝。
But Jesus served God by entering into the true inner sanctuary that is in heaven.
这个真帐幕什么意思呢？
What does the true tabernacle mean?
那是神自己永远的所在。
This is where God lives forever.
神为人所预备的永远的救赎的侍奉的所在。
The ministry of eternity that God has set aside for men.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
这样就给我们看见地上的侍奉不过是天上侍奉的影儿。
Here we see that the ministry we have on earth is but a shadow of the ministry in heaven.
旧约的侍奉是哪里的侍奉呢？
What about the Old Testament ministry?
旧约的整个侍奉是在 地上的侍奉。
The entire ministry in the Old Testament is based on the earth.
旧约的帐篷是什么帐篷呢？
What about their tabernacles?
旧约的帐篷是地上支打起来的帐篷。
Their tabernacles were set on earth.
旧约的帐篷的尺寸从哪里来的呢？
What about the measurement of the tabernacle?
旧约里面的器具的样式从哪里来的？
Or the shape of the things that they used.
是从天上的神在山上指示摩西的样式，照那样子来做的。
It came from the instruction that the heavenly God gave to Moses on the mountain.
这样就隐藏了一个贯彻始终圣经里面很重要的一个教训。
Here we see a very consistent and important principle.
只有天上的才是永恒的。
That is, only things that are in heaven is eternal.
地上的不过是它的代表性的样式而已。
Things that are on earth are but representations.
这是基督教真理很伟大的地方。
This is the great portion of Christianity.
这就是神在第一章的圣经已经启示的总原则。
This is the general principle we see from the very first chapter of the Bible.
什么原则呢？
What sort of principle is this?
就是有本样，有副样。
And that is, there is a principal image and a secondary one.
有本体。有课题。
There is an object and a subject.
上帝按照自己的形象样式创造了人。
God made man in His image.
所以人不是那事物的本体的本身。
And so man in itself is not the original image.
人不过是神本体的副样吧。
We are just a secondary image of God.
这样在世界你绝对不能找到完完全全的人。
In earth, therefore, you cannot find a perfect human being.
你不能找到没有瑕疵的人。
You cannot find a human being without any flaws.
既然人性有这么多尊贵的地方，
but there are a lot of honorable and precious things about humanity.
尊贵的人本身又不是没有瑕疵的。
And we are without, not without fault.
那尊贵的所代表的本体到底在哪里呢？
But where is the original honor then?
你在地上找不到，你只能回到神面前来。
You cannot find on earth, you must return to God.
只有在神那里，你找到真正完美绝对的本体。
Only in God is the absolute goodness and honor.
因为神才是这个本体的本身。
Because God is the original image.
我相信这种观念是影响了整个世界的文化。
I think this concept influenced all the cultures of the world.
所以我们不过是上帝的样式。
We are only in His image.
我们不过是上帝的形象。
We are only made in His image.
所以当一个人把自己当作神来看待的时候，
When we treat ourselves as if we are God.
或者一个人要求人把他当作神来看待的时候，
Or when we ask other people to treat us as if we are God.
他是喧宾夺主。
He is observing the direction of God.
用副样来冒充本体。
To use the copy to pretend to be the original.
这就是神所痛恨的事情。
This is something which God hates.
诗篇里有几次主讲这句话。
Psalms tells us this many
我绝对不把我的荣耀归给假神。
I'm not going to give my glory to the idols.
因为那不是本体。
Because that is not the original.
那个不过是影子而已。
It is but a shadow.
那么当这个东西你明白的时候，
When you understand this,
你就了解为什么这里提到天上的真帐幕是神自己织的，不是人织的。
Then you will know why it is here in the passage that the true tabernacle is set up by the Lord and not by man.
在真帐幕里面的真的大祭司的侍奉是真侍奉，不是人间的侍奉。
And the ministry of the high priest in this tabernacle is the true ministry.
也就是耶稣基督的侍奉才是真正永恒上帝旨意里面的侍奉。
In other words, the ministry of Christ is the true ministry under the eternal will of God.
那么这地上的侍奉是什么呢？
What about our ministry on earth?
不过那真侍奉在地上的影子而已。
They are but shadow of the true worship.
所以犹太人啊，你们不要搞错。
So Jews do not be mistaken.
希伯来人那边不要搞错。
Or Hebrews do not be mistaken.
因为你们在地上的整个祭司的制度，不过是天上大祭司侍奉的一个影子而已。
Because all the system of priesthood you have is but a shadow of that in heaven.
人不可以把影子代替真体。
We cannot use the shadow to take over the place of the original.
你不能把你爱人的照片代替就是他的自己。
It's just as if you cannot use the photograph of your loved one as the original.
我对你讲过这个例子。
This illustration,
你说我得到我的爱人的照片了。
You said that I have my lover's photograph.
我已经满意了。
I am very satisfied.
所以每天摸摸他。
So every day you will touch him.
天天对他讲话。
And speak to the photo.
这就这个照片亲来亲去。
Or maybe kiss the photograph.
你是神经不正常。
You're probably crazy if you do that.
这个不是你的爱人。
Because this is not your loved one.
这是一张纸。
It's just a piece of paper.
这是一个照片。
An image.
但是这个照片有代表性。
But it has a representation.
你爱人的真体的样式 印在这个照片上。
Because the image of your lover is on the photograph.
所以你触景生情。
So when you look at the image, you remember the person.
你看影想人。
When you look at the photograph, you think of that person.
所以这个照片不是完全没有意思。
Therefore, the photograph has some meaning.
还是有意思。
There is some purpose.
因为它是真体照下来的影子。
Because it is a shadow of the original object.
这个照片不是真体。
But the photograph is not the original.
绝对不能满足真正的功用。
Surely it cannot satisfy its true function.
你不能说我已经找到了我的爱人在这里，我就跟这张照片结婚吧。
You cannot say I found it, so I will marry this photograph.
这是不可能的事情。
This is impossible.
因为你可以对他讲话，他不能对你讲话。
Because you can speak to it, but it will never reply.
你对他深入的感情，他无动于衷。
You may have deep feeling for it, but it cannot respond.
你可以摸它，它不能摸你。
You can caress it, but it cannot touch you.
因为它不过是个影子而已。
Because this is but a shadow.
你要真正找到你的真体。
You must go for the true person.
那么当你真正找到那个人以后，
And when you find that person,
你是真正找到真体吗？
Have you found the true person?
你找到那个人的身体，不等于找到那个人的真体。
But actually, you only found his physical body.
因为身体不等于是真体。
Because the physical body doesn't represent the true self.
所以有许多人结婚以前。
That's why a lot of people before they get married,
盼望。
They had great hope.
真正的到以后。
But after they are married,
发现完全与理想不一样。
They found out it's different from their ideals.
历史上最重要的例子就是拿破仑。
The most important example would be Napoleon.
我想中文的翻译呢，差不多每一个人拿破仑都翻译成那个三个字。
I think this is the usual translation in Chinese.
这是最统一性的翻译。
The most common translation.
那么拿破仑爱 Josephine 爱得要死要活。
Napoleon was so in love with Josephine.
但他结婚以后一点也不幸福。
But he did not have a good marriage.
到底他是不是得到了他理想中间真正要的人？
Did he get the person that he wanted in his mind?
还不是的。
Not so.
所以我们的身体的样子美丽，不等于我们里面真正的完美。
And the way we look externally does not represent what's inside of us.
从前在中国宣教有一个很著名的宣教士叫做 Howard Williams.
There was a very important missionary in China called Howard Williams.
他很奇怪的。
He was a strange
person. 他的太太比他大12岁。
His wife was 12 years older than he was.
但感情好得不得了。
But they were very much in love.
我想可能他是家里面小弟弟，喜欢姐姐跟他在一起。
Maybe he was very young in his family. He needed a sister.
当我到美国见他的时候，
When I saw him in America,
他已经82岁了。
He was 82.
他的太太94岁了。
His wife was 94.
他们还是感情好得不得了。
They were still very much in love.
等到中国给大陆给共产党拿去以后，
Until China was taken over by the communists,
离开中国。
He left China.
但他的心是非常非常的中国心。
But he had a Chinese heart.
所以后来呢，这个文化革命之后
，After the Cultural Revolution，
许多的中国学者在1980年开始到美国去读书。
In the 70s and 80s, many Chinese scholars went to America.
趁着机会对中国知识分子来传道。
He took the opportunity to preach to these intellectuals.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
当他30岁离开中国的时候
，When he left China when he was 30，
他已经没有机会在中国传道了。
He did not have any opportunity to preach.
没有时间，上帝把中国的知识分子带到那个美国来，让他再会对他们传道。
But before he died, God sent the intellectuals there for him to preach.
那么他传道的方法很不一样。
He had a very unique way of preaching.
他说：“先生，你在哪里啊？”
He said, "Sir, where are you?"
中国学生说：“我就是我。”
The Chinese would say, "Where I am."
那么你是哪一个啊？
And he would ask, "Who then are you?"
你在哪？这个就是我。
The Chinese would say, "This is me."
他说不是，这是你的胸膛，不是你。
He said, "This is not you, just your chest."
那么你在哪里啊？
What about where are you?
我就是这个。
And the man said, "I'm here."
这个不是你，这是你的鼻子，不是你。
He said, "That's your nose and not you."
这个人给他弄到最后全部乱了。
And then the person would be confused.
到底什么叫做我呢？
What is me?
我的脚太下面了。
My feet is below me.
我的头发太上面了。
My hair is a bit too high.
我的背太后面了。
My back is too far behind.
我的鼻子太前面了。
My nose is too far forward.
是我到底在哪里呢？
So where am I?
我在我的心里。
I am in my heart.
我就是我心这个地方。
When I say me, it refers to my heart.
那么他对他说，那你心脏如果移植一个，那怎么办？
And he asked if you have a heart transplant, then what will happen?
你换一个心脏，你这个人也不见得跑到别人心里面去。
Does that mean that you have disappeared?
所以你到底在哪里？
So where are you?
所以这些唯物论的人，结果弄得莫名其妙，
开始觉得唯物论不可靠了。
And all this existential, this materialism, people believe in that.
这个外面的不是我们的本体。
So that is what is exterior is not our own.
那本体到底在哪里
？Where is the inner self?
所以希伯来书的作者在这里就要讲出这个道理。
The author of Hebrews wants to show us this.
你们认为律法就够了吗
？You think you're satisfied with the laws?
你们以为地上的帐幕就够了吗
？Do you think you're satisfied with tabernacle?
你们以为在至圣所里面的侍奉就够了吗
？Do you think it's enough to have the inner sanctuary?
你们整个旧约的侍奉不是在地上的帐幕，你们是。
All your ministry is but ministry on earth.
你们这个地上的侍奉的帐幕是人手建起来的。
And the tabernacle in which you worship is made by the human hand.
耶稣基督成为大祭司不是如此。
It is not the case for Jesus Christ as high priest.
真帐幕里面服侍上帝。
He entered into the true tabernacle to serve God.
这里就把我们的现实跟那本体里面的真实呢把它分开来。
Here we see a separation of our reality and the original essence of God.
我相信圣经还是希腊哲学家真正的启发的源头。
I believe that the Bible is the true source of inspiration for Greek philosophers.
为什么苏格拉底不满意神话系统？
Why was Socrates not satisfied with
mythological?
At his time, everybody believed in the myth that Olympus had all the gods.
苏格拉底想来想去，这些神明连人的道德伦理都没有，不够资格成为我的神。
Socrates thought about it and thought that they had a decadent lifestyle and they do not qualify to be God.
苏格拉底相信有个超过所有神明的独一的真神。
He believed that there must be one true God that is far surpasses all the gods.
这个信仰是从犹太人受影响。
This belief came from the Hebrews.
所以柏拉图说呢，这个世界是一个虚无的世界。
Plato said that the world is a virtual world.
世界的一切不是真体。
That all things are not real.
真体是理想界里面。
And real things is within idealism.
他是理想主义哲学之父。
And he is the father of idealism.
或者说唯心主义之父。
Or the father that started idealism.
我相信连柏拉图的这个思想还是从圣经得到影响。
I believe that Plato himself was influenced by the Bible.
为什么呢
？Why?
因为只有这本圣经告诉你，神是本体。人是造作他的样式造，所以人不完全。
Because only the scripture tells us that God is the original and we are made by His image.
所以当你看世界的哲学，你以为这些思想很厉害的时候
，When you look at human philosophies and think greatly about them，
我几乎可以看出没有一个重要的思想体系，它的源头不在圣经里面早就记载下来。
I can tell you that not a single important philosophical system had its source outside of the Bible.
所以柏拉图说呢，在世界没有真正完美的事物。
Plato said that there is nothing that is truly perfect on the earth.
完美的事物是在心灵界，是在理想界，是在理念界里面的东西。
And perfection comes from the inner being in idealism.
那个用希腊文叫做 eidos.
In Greek, it's called eidos.
Eidos 翻译成英文变成 idea.
And in English translation, it's idea.
中文变成理想。
And in Chinese, it's 理想。
理念。
In
所以我们有个理念界的东西。
So there's something inside of us.
当你发现你方已经成熟了，你可以结婚的时候
，When you find that you are physically mature enough to get married，
你就对自己说，轮到我找女朋友了。
You say it's time for me to look for a girlfriend。
女的就说，轮到我找男朋友了。
And for the girl, you say it's time for me to look for a boyfriend。
这个壁纸太白边，那个红，这个景象太短，这个人脚太胖，不行不行不行。
And you will be quite picky because of the physical
space. 那么为什么你现在 quite picky 呢？
Why are you quite picky?
因为你里面有个理念。
Because there's an inner self.
一个好的女子。
A good person.
应该是这个颜色。
A good girl ought to be like this.
头发应当是这么长短。
Ought to have such a length of hair.
脚应当是这样的。
This shape of legs.
他的脸轮应当是这样的。
The facial features.
那个应当从哪里来的？
Where did all this ought to be come from?
就是完全的理念的观念里面来的。
It comes from our inner concept.
那么这个完全的观念。
Where did this perfect concept?
求全的心理。
This understanding for perfection.
是从哪里来的？
Where did it come from?
绝对不是进化的产品。
Surely it is not a result of evolution.
神已经放在你里面。
It is something that God has placed in your heart.
人有一个求全的心理。
We have an attitude towards perfection.
人有一个完全的概念。
We have a concept of perfection.
人有一个对绝对的向往。
We have an attraction towards absolute.
人家介绍给你。
So when you are introduced to someone, you say no.
那个不好。
Not this one.
这个很好，但太矮。
This one is good but too short.
那个人太多嘴。
Or else that one is too bold.
你一定不满你的意。
And you won't find one you like.
不满你的意念。
It doesn't fulfill your will.
广东人叫做五中爷爷。
That means you don't like it.
不重你的意。
It is not fulfilling of your
你里面有个高的目的。
There is an ideal in you.
找到五六十岁你找到了。
Maybe you find one when you're 50 or 60.
你找了三十年找到那个真正和你一年的。
After 30 years you will maybe find one.
你说到底找到了。
And you say, finally I found the person.
你就勇敢对他说。
And you told him bravely.
我对你因为有意思, 所以不好意思。
Oh, I'm a bit embarrassed that I'm interested in you.
凡是很好意思的都没有意思。
But when I'm not embarrassed, I have no interest in those people.
我现在对你很有意思。
But now I'm interested in you.
我不好意思告诉你。
But I'm embarrassed to tell you that.
你要知道我等了30年才找到你。
You must know that I've waited 30 years and then I found you.
你很适合我。
And you are suited to me.
啊, 你以为事情就这样了结了。
You think that this is the end of things?
想不到他安德说你。 你说我很适合你，但我老是告诉你，你不适合我，你太老了。
But the answer could be that you are not suitable, you're too old.
所以这个还是没有办法。
And you still don't have an answer.
所以人人有个理念。
There is an inner self.
理念界是很完美的。
There's a perfection in us inside us. But in reality, there's no perfection.
所以世界上看见一切的事物有瑕疵，你不要感到奇怪。
Do not be curious about the fact that there are flaws in this earth.
因为神是这样定的。
Because this is the way God sets it to be.
他是本体,
he is the original essence. Only he is perfect. And the world is made in his will.
被造世界中间有神的样式和神的形象的,
and among all creatures, only man has his image.
所以人在各种文化的这个发展里面,
in the cultural development of man then,
就产生了完美, 跟这个样式的这种思想出来的。
There is the thought of perfection and images of perfection.
为什么我们说孔子是万世师表呢？
Why do we say that Confucius is the model of all teachers?
因为他就是那样式里面最能做代表的。
Because he seems to be the most perfect representation.
师表。
And so we say he represents the
all of us. 我们的代表。
He becomes our representation.
样式里面最完美的一个。
Seems to be the most perfect one.
但是孔子自己说呢，他不大完全。
But Confucius said himself, I am not perfect.
所以这个完美的观念跟样式的事情还是没办法解决。
And we cannot solve this problem of finding perfection.
但是我们里面这个要求是很高的。
But we have a high expectation.
所以有时候你骂一个人，你说这个人真的不像样。
Sometimes we look at a person, we say that you are not like a human being.
你怎么做法？
Why do you do this?
你不像样。
You are not like a human.
如果他回答你， 什么样才叫做像样？ 要像怎么样， 你没办法解答出来。
But if you ask you what then will be a human looks like,
所谓的文化，
so culture,
就是要把样跟本体连在一起。
Is an attempt to mix the image with the original.
这个本体是什么？
What is this original?
就变成失落的目标。
It becomes a target that has been lost.
变成不能寻找出来的原体。
Something that we cannot find anymore.
但这个观念没办法失去。
But we cannot lose that concept of perfection.
所以我们很盼望找到那本体。
And we keep trying to look for the source.
这样，柏拉图跟康德就在这两个人在这些方面发展他们的哲学。
Plato and Immanuel Kant therefore developed their philosophy.
柏拉图的世界里面没有真正的本体。
Plato said there is no perfection on the earth.
本体是在本体界里面。
And the source is in another realm.
本体是在那边。
It's somewhere else.
所以他的学生苏格拉底就跟他反抗。
The Socrates therefore disagreed with him.
柏拉图说呢，真正的完美在那边。
Socrates, Plato said the true ideal is up there.
物质的世界是分开的。
Separated from the earth.
但是这个阿里说的不是的，完美跟本体是在形象跟样的物质里面是在一起。
Aristotle said no, perfection is in the earth.
So the form and matter separated or form and matter identified 是这种哲学的分开。
So form and matter is identified.
如果你到罗马梵蒂冈里面,
if you go to Vatican in
Rome,
you will see a very large painting.
那个叫做亚等学派。
It is the painting of the Athens.
是谁画的呢?
Who drew this?
Raffaello Sanzio画的。
It's drawn by Raphael.
他把所有希腊最重要的神学哲学家都画在里面。
He illustrated all the most important Greek philosophers.
只有一个不是希腊人，他也画在里面。
But he included one who is not Greek.
那个人是谁呢？
Who was this person?
就是他自己。
That's himself.
所以他把自己跟希腊哲学家放在一起，很热闹。
He drew himself together with all Greek philosophers.
但是自认图画有一个很大的特点。
There is a very unique thing about this.
只有两个在中间的人。 他们的背后不是建筑，是天空。
There are only two persons whose background is illustrated as the sky.
为什么呢？ 因为拉斐罗真正要表达的是什么？
Raphael was trying to show man.
就是所有希腊哲学家的思想都是被局限在物质界里面的。
That all philosophers are constrained within material world.
都被局限在有形的世界里面。
They are all limited in this physical world.
苏格拉底以前的哲学家。
So philosophers before Socrates.
写的书不外两本两种题目。
There are only two themes in their book.
第一种题目叫做 on nature.
The first one is on nature.
第二种题目叫做 on principle.
Second one is on principle.
所以他们讨论大自然的事情。
They want to discuss about nature.
他们讨论物质的原理的事情。
They want to discuss about materialistic principles.
都是有形世界里面的自然，有形世界里面的原则。
Things, principles in the physical world.
所以这个呢，就在被局限的塑造界里面封闭的系统。
And these people are trapped within the created world.
但是苏格拉底以后。
But after Socrates,
我们看见柏拉图跟阿里斯多德的思想完全脱离这些。
Plato and Aristotle was completely different.
所以他们想的形上学的问题。
They talk about metaphysics.
这个在拉丁文叫做 ta meta ta physica.
In Latin, it's ta meta ta physica.
The world beyond the physical world.
It refers to the world beyond.
在有形世界之外的世界是怎么样
？The world beyond what we can see.
那因为这两个师生的辩论的缘故。
Because of the argument between the teacher and the student.
柏拉图拿着书一边辩论的时候，手指指着天上。
The illustration shows Plato holding a book and pointing to the sky.
Raphael 要表示他是很有智慧的人。
Raphael is trying to show us he's a man of wisdom.
所以就把达芬奇的面孔画在他身上。
And he drew the face of Da Vinci on his face.
所以那个叫做柏拉图的面孔就是达芬奇。
So that Plato would look like Da Vinci.
因为那个时候是整个意大利最聪明、最有智慧的人，就达芬奇。
At that time, people think Da Vinci was the most intelligent.
那么阿里斯多德的面孔呢，是更年轻的。
Aristotle was illustrated to be young.
一个白头发，一个黑头发。
One with white hair, the other black.
柏拉图拿一本书，手指着上面。
Plato was pointing to the sky.
阿里斯多德拿一本书，手指着下面。
Aristotle pointing to the earth.
表示他们的自修有不同的立足点。
It means that philosophically they started from different points.
那么在柏拉图的手里面拿的书是什么书呢
？What is the book that Plato holds?
是 Timaeus.
It's Timaeus.
Timaeus 是什么意思呢
？What is this book?
就是柏拉图的 cosmology， 宇宙观、宇宙论。
It's the cosmology of Plato.
所以他是想到整个万有，甚至形上的世界。
His concept about all things in the universe.
那么阿里斯多德拿的书是什么呢
？What about the book that Aristotle carried?
Ethica.
It's ethics.
就是伦理学人的今生世界里面需要学的东西。
It talk about ethics, the things that we need to know on earth.
是一个论上，一个论下。
It means one is talking about the top and the other the bottom.
所以这样，柏拉图就成了唯心论的鼻祖，那么阿里斯多德就变成科学之父。
Plato becomes the father of idealism and Aristotle the father of science.
柏拉图要想的是在形上的五线中间里面的真理到底是什么。
Plato wanted to understand metaphysics above human life.
阿里斯多德是研究在自然中间，用什么逻辑，用什么伦理来决定人生的价值。
But Aristotle wanted to find out the value of life using logic and principles.
柏拉图告诉我们，没有真正完美的世界。
Plato said there is nothing that is perfect.
你看见一棵树
，Look at a tree.
一朵花
，A flower.
每一朵不一样的。
Everyone is different.
当它失去几遍的时候。
When it,
几个花瓣的时候
，When it loses its petals，
它还是花嘛
？It is still a flower。
但是真正的花应当怎么样呢
？But what about the perfect flower？
你看见每一匹马都不一样长的。
Look at every horse, they are all different length。
有的脚太短一点
，Some have shorter legs。
有的颈项长一点
，Some have longer necks。
每一个人都不完美。
Everyone is not perfect。
最美最美的也不完美，一定会老。
The most beautiful among us still will grow old。
真正的完美不在这世界。
True perfection doesn't come
from the earth. 是在
天上。It comes
from heaven. 那么这种观念一直传到德国唯心论的时候。
When this concept is reaches German idealism.
康德再把这个观念再发展出来。
Kant, explore this further.
他就是我们的思想说的明白的，不是现象界里面的东西。
He said that the things that we can understand is things that are in the image of life.
In the phenomenal world, this is the only world we can understand, we can think about with our reasoning power.那么但是他说呢那我们的思想没有办法够到的地方叫做 nominal world
He says that the things that our thought cannot go to is called the nominal world
Nominal world 是什么呢
What is the nominal world?
本体界的范围
It is the world of the original essence
本体界的范围是什么呢
What is this world then?
就是事物真正本体的那个东西
It is the true source, the true essence of things
那么本体界里面
And in this world of the thought,
跟现象界是很不一样的。
It's different from the world of image.
今天看的现象呢，根本不能代表里面真正的本体。
The things that we see physically cannot represent the true self.
用佛教的名词来说
using Buddhism,
每个事物里面的本体有一个真正的如字，叫悟如。
Everything has an essence called 如。
那这个呢，在德文叫做 Ding an sich。
In German, it's called Ding an sich。
中文的哲学家呢，就把它翻译成悟字体。
In the Chinese translation, it's materialism.
The 物字体就是 the essence of the original things in within the matter. 在物质里面那个真正的字体，自己的本体在里面。
That is the true source, the original in the material.
那么今天我们一看希伯来书的时候
，When we look at Hebrews, then
你发现字句的观念里面已经隐藏在这本书里面。
You see this concept implicitly hidden there.
所以希伯来书的作者对犹太人说什么
？The author of Hebrews says to the Jews,
你们看见了会幕吗？
Do you see your tabernacle?
你们看见祭司的侍奉吗
？Do you see the ministry of the priest?
你们看见会幕里面的东西吗
？Do you see the objects in the tabernacle?
这些不过是形象界的东西。
All these are things in the material.
这些不过是样品而已。
They are just the representation.
你们看见这个帐幕在哪里啊？是地上的帐幕。
The tabernacle you have is on earth.
这个帐幕是谁制他的？是人制他的。
Set up by men.
但我们的信仰，我们把我们带到天上的帐幕，神所制造的真帐篷里面去。
But our faith will bring us to heaven, the true tabernacle that God has set up.
这就表示我们的信心已经超脱了有限的物质界。
It means that our faith enables us to break through from the material world.
我们的信仰把我们带到天上，坐在神右边的中保的侍奉的里面。
Our faith brings us to the mediator that sits on the right hand of God.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
所以他再用一个很特别的话来对他们说。
And he used very special terms to speak to them.
摩西建会幕的时候。
When Moses set the tabernacle,
他可以不可以随便照自己要的时间呢
？Can he just make it in any way he chooses?
不能。
No.
上帝警告他说
，God warned him.
你制造会幕的时候
，that when he built the
tabernacle, 你只能照着在山上指示你的样式去建造。
He must make everything according to the pattern shown on the mountain.
所以你不能说我喜欢圣所这么大，我就这么大，至圣所更大，我就做更大，不可以的。
You cannot just build the sanctuary in any size you wish.
因为这些的尺寸，神已经指示你了。
Because the dimensions have been given by God.
这是基督教信仰、犹太教信仰、新旧约圣经跟其他宗教里面很大不同的地方。
This is the great difference between Christianity and all other faith.
为什么呢
？Why?
因为我们的信仰是根据神的启示，不是根据人宗教性的想象出来的。
Our faith comes from the revelation of God, not from religious thinking.
所以神为本。
God is the source.
神自己指示的。
He himself gives us direction.
所以这个警告就变成以后几章很重要的一个钥匙。
And this warning becomes a very important key for the future chapter.
照着山上指示你的样式。
According to the pattern shown you on the mountain.
摩西在何烈山上多久啊？
How long was Moses on Mount Horeb?
有四十天的时间。
For 40 days and
nights. 那么那四十天做什么呢
？What did he do?
在等上帝写四条诫命，在两块画板给他是吗
？Was he waiting for the Ten Commandments?
那么上帝写四十天才写四条诫，这么久啊
？Would God need to take so long to write the Ten Commandments?
上帝写的这么慢，我两分钟我就写完了。
I can finish in 2 minutes.
哦，你说那石头太硬了，上帝慢慢刻。
He said maybe the stone is very hard.
不是的。
No, that was.
为什么摩西在山上四十天？
Why was he there for so many?
为什么这么久呢
？Why was the length so long?
就是这件事呢。
Because of this.
指示你各样的样式。
He was shown all sorts of direction.
摩西就记下来多少长、多少寸、多少宽、多少高，不能乱的。
Moses was recording all this faithfully.
这个叫做有特别的规则在里面。
There are special principles to this.
今天我们看了建礼拜堂，也是应当有一些规则在里面的。
In the same manner, when we build a church, we should follow such principles.
天主教堂建了以后就没有什么改了。
Roman Catholic Church does not change very much in its form.
基督教礼拜堂建来建去一直改。
Whereas Christian Protestant churches keep changing.
还有一些不管尺寸、不管什么原则、什么地方都可以做礼拜堂。
And some people just worship anywhere they want.
所以把马戏团买下来，把工厂买下来，把戏院买下来就可以了。
Sometimes we buy circuses, factories, and movie houses.
但是摩西建会幕的时候
，But when Moses built the tabernacle,
上帝说不行。
God said, "Be careful."
只能照着我指示你的。
Build according to my direction.
在哪里指示你呢
？Where was the direction given?
山上指示你。
Was given on the mountain.
山上看的，地上见。
He saw it in the mountain. He built it on earth.
那山上怎么有一个模型呢
How can there be a model?
上帝已经叫天使做了一个模型。
God asked the angels to make a model.
从天上带到山上来。
To bring from heaven.
摩西上山来。
To ask Moses to come.
你注意看呐。
Look at the model.
规模这样建的。
This is how you should build it.
摩西一面看一面记录。
And Moses recorded everything.
拿一支钢笔来记录。
Using a pen.
哦，原来这个规模长是这样多的。
The length.
记得，所以要记四十天才记录。
I had to record it for 40 days.
这个在出埃及里面都很详细的记载。
We saw this in the Exodus.
那么这里重要的是尺寸吗？
Is the dimensions important?
不是的
No.
重要的是什么
What is important?
不能照私意
The importance is that you cannot do it on your own will
照所指示的
But by the instruction of God
因为地上的侍奉是天上侍奉的影子
Because our ministry on earth is but the shadow of the ministry on heaven
重点不是地上的尺寸就等于你中心了
The importance is not following the dimension on earth
重点是神的指示你不可越过他的教训
The important point is we cannot override the direction of God
很重要的一件事情
This is a very important principle
所以教会的成功不成功
The success of the church
就是我们有没有遵守使徒的教训
It's dependent on whether we follow the instruction of the apostles
为什么遵守使徒的教训
Why should we do that?
因为使徒的亲自蒙主拣选主把真理启示他们的人
Because the apostles were chosen personally by Jesus Christ who revealed the truth.
但是你透过使徒所给我们的教训，去明白旧约的预备。
And through the instructions that the apostles given to us, we understand the Old Testament.
新约成为旧约的成全。
The New Testament became the fulfillment of the Old.
旧约就成为新约的预备。
The Old Testament becomes a preparation for the New.
旧约也隐藏着新约要赐下的一切的事物。
The Old Testament implicitly has messages in the New Testament.
新约就完全应验了旧约里面神所应许的一切的事物。
And the New Testament fulfill all the promises that God has in the Old.
只要我们把使徒的教训当作认识先知的教训的总要匙。
We look upon the instructions of the apostles as the key to understanding the Old.
旧约的预备是什么意思呢？
What do we mean when the Old Testament prepares?
旧约的侍奉不是一个表样。
The ministry of the Old Testament is a representation.
这个表样乃是要我们在基督完整的救恩里面去明白神永恒的心意是什么。
To tell us that we must understand the eternal will of God under the salvation of Jesus Christ.
希伯来书就是这个新旧约之间贯彻始终那个明白和一切的关系的最重要的一本书。
Hebrews therefore becomes the most important book to help us understand the relationship between the Old and the New Testament.
第八章告诉我们
Chapter 8 tells us
地上的侍奉
The ministry on earth
是在人手所造的帐幕
is in the tabernacle made by the human hand.
地上的帐篷
The tabernacle on earth
不是真帐篷
is not the true tabernacle.
真帐篷是在天上
The true tabernacle is set in heaven.
真侍奉是在天上的圣所里面
The true ministry is in the sanctuary in heaven.
地上的侍奉是谁做的呢？
But who fulfilled the ministry on earth?
祭司们所做的。
It was done by the priests.
天上的真侍奉是谁做的呢？
What about the true ministry on earth?
耶稣基督所做成的。
It is done by Jesus Christ.
地上的侍奉不过是天上真侍奉的样子而已。
The ministry on earth is but the image of the true service.
希伯来人啊
，Hebrews，
你们要从这个样子找到那真题在上面。
From the representation on earth, you must seek for the source.
你们不能拘泥在摩西侍奉的这个帐幕里面。
You cannot get stuck in the tabernacle of Moses.
这是暂时的。
Because this is temporal.
这是外天的。
This is added.
这原不是上帝由永远中间所定的旨意。
Not in his original eternal will.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
摩西做帐幕的时候
，When Moses built the tabernacle,
他到了这个境界的话语
，He was warned.
你不能随便。
You cannot take it anyway.
照着这山上指示你的。
But by the instruction given by the.
今天我们如果能够爬到西乃山去
，If we can go to Mount Sinai,
我们什么都没有看见。
We will not see anything.
因为当时在西乃山只是摩西的样式
Because at that time when the instructions were given
也不过是天上圣所的一个表样而已
It was just a representation at that time
所以犹太人是舍本逐末
So the Jews have made a big mistake
他们真正应当等待的是耶稣基督所带来的 完备的救恩。
What they ought to have waited for is the complete salvation of Jesus Christ.
他们一方面等候基督的来到。
On the one hand, they waited for the Christ.
一方面死抓不放旧约的师父。
But on the other hand, they grab hold onto the Old Testament ministry.
一方面他们弥赛亚快点来临。
On the one hand, they look for the Messiah to come.
但是他们对弥赛亚的了解是完全错误的。
But they have a wrong understanding of the Messiah.
所以犹太人昼夜祷告，求上帝把弥赛亚赐给他们。
The Jews have been praying day and night for the Messiah to come.
当弥赛亚真正到的时候，他们就说：“你来做什么？我不要你这种弥赛亚。”就把他钉死在十字架上。
When the true Messiah come, they ask him, "Why are you here? We do not want you," and they crucify him.
这就表示他们对样本更喜欢过的真皮。
It means that they like the image more than the source.
所以西方的书的作者一条一条的把它揭开来，让他们看见神真正的本意是什么的。
The author of Hebrew untie these knots one by one to show them the true meaning that God.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
神的原则就是这样。
This is the principle of God.
当你看见伟大的建筑的时候
，When you look at a great building,
就是最伟大的构思、伟大的意念怎样成型在有形的物质的外表上面。
It is something that came about from the greatest thought and concepts.
如果你们到北京去
，If you go to Beijing,
你会看见有史以来人类所做过的最大最大的王宫。
You will see the greatest, largest palace that man has ever built.
紫禁城。
And that is a forbidden city.
这王宫的特点和西方的王宫不一样。
There is a very big difference between this palace and
other palaces. 西方的王宫有很多的树木，中国的王宫很少树。
The Chinese palaces have very little trees in them.
因为呢，坏人躲在树里很难找到。
Because it's difficult, because evil people always hide in the trees.
王宫的庭院所有的树都砍掉，只有单单的后边的一段地方，花园里面才有。
And there are no trees because of that.
所以西方的王宫的花园是很重要的，中国的王宫这一个宫殿是很重要的。
But in the Western palaces, gardens are very important.
如果你把梵蒂冈宫跟中国的王宫比的时候
，If you compare the Palace of the Lords,
你知道地皮它是很大的，但是建筑是很小的。
You will find that the building is very small. The land is very big, but the building is very small.
伦敦的白金汉宫更不必讲了。
Or Buckingham Palace is even worse.
小的不成样子。
It's very small.
你再看这 Schönbrunn 也是地皮大，王宫不大。
The Schönbrunn Palace is also a very big land, but very small.
曼宁的 Charlottenburg 也是一样的地皮大，房子不大。
The Berlin Palace is also the same.
照样，其他的王宫在罗马的，在意大利的，在西班牙的，都是不太大的。
Seems to be the case for all European palaces.
北京的王宫是明朝第二个正式的皇帝永乐所建的。
The Beijing Palace is built since the Ming Dynasty.
其实应当说它是第三个皇帝。
The third emperor.
明朝的第一个皇帝是洪武，就是朱元璋。
The first emperor is 朱元璋。
第二个皇帝是他的孙子，叫做建文皇帝的。
The second one is his grandson.
但是因为祖父直接把位让给孙子，引起了儿子大大的不满。
Because the generation was skipped, so the son was not happy with this.
所以北京的王就是燕王，就带兵下去攻南京，烧掉整个王宫，然后呢就把都迁到北京，在那里建现在的紫禁城。
The capital was then moved from Nanjing to Beijing, and we have the Forbidden City because of this.
有一个传说，他就派一个很大的、很雄伟的人，用海军到全世界去找建文帝在哪里，因为不共戴天。
There's a legend that they sought after the enemies using the navy.
这就是郑和下西洋的故事。
This is a story of how 郑和 came to.
郑和又叫做三宝太监。
郑和 is also the eunuch that we are familiar with.
你知道当时中国的海军是全世界最强最强的海军。
The navy of China was the strongest at that time.
郑和呢是高头大马。
And 郑和 was a very tall person.
身长七尺。
Supposed to be 7 feet long.
长得雄伟，非常英俊。
And very tall and handsome.
所以他用这种外交呢，到世界各地去，就使许多的国家进贡给中国了。
He went to many countries and made many countries tributaries of China.
中国当时的造船技术
，the techniques of building ships
远远超过所有西方列强
，far surpasses that of Western nations.
所以中国的船呢，大等于差不多哥伦布发现新大陆的船五倍大。
The ship of China was 5 times larger than that which Colombia used.
它可以很勇敢的在大洋中间一直走，一直走。
It can move very strongly in the great oceans.
有一天呢，中国的四大部起来反对，为什么要用钱在搞海军战
？But one day there was opposition on the building of the navy.
所得到的是什么呢
？What is the answer？
就得到了奇珍异异功，把各地各国的鸟啦带来，有什么用？花那么多钱找奇珍鸟回来做什么
？They asked the question, what is the point of having all these funny animals that are brought from overseas？
明朝还没有结束的时候，宣布停止海军。
And before the end of the Ming Dynasty, the navy was abolished.
自从明朝停止海军以后，西班牙才变成了海上大帝国。
And then Spain became the power on the seas.
这是非常凑巧的。
This is coincidental.
西班牙被 Nelson 将军打败了，英国才接替他成为全世界海上的霸主。
And then England ruled the sea after that.
那么呢，这个的永乐大帝建海军有他的企图。
There is a purpose for the building of the Chinese Navy.
这些船已经全部破灭，没有了。
All these ships are gone now.
永乐大帝留下来的伟大的王宫，全世界公认是最大的。
But the palace that is left behind, everyone knew that it's the greatest on earth.
北京的王宫多大呢
？How big was this palace?
9999个房间。
It has 9,999 rooms.
为什么不是一万呢
？Why wasn't it about 10,000?
天上才一万，地上只有9999。
Because you have 10,000 in heaven only.
这个观念是很特别。
This is a unique concept.
真正的圣权是没在那边。
It means that the only perfection is in heaven.
不是在这边。
Not on earth.
天是天，天子是天子，天是天，天子是天的儿子。
Heaven is heaven, and the Son of heaven is but the Son.
所以必备房间也要少一个。
So even the room has to be
9,999
It also means that he will be emperor for a long time.
那么北京的王宫是根据什么图案画的？你知道吗
？What sort of architectural plans were they built?
是根据西安的王宫的图案画。
It was built based on the palace of Xi'an.
比西安的做的更大。
It was larger than Xi'an's palace.
西安的王宫是根据什么图案画的？你知道吗
？What about the Xi'an palace?
根据天体运动，整个宇宙的星球之间的数目来定下来。
It is set by the constellations.
所以这样呢，天上的样式，地上的建筑，这关系呢，不但圣经有，中国历史也有。
And so we see this concept of heaven and earth in Chinese history.
演到北京天坛去的时候。
Even when you go to the heavenly altar in Beijing,
那些屋瓦、那些柱子、它所有的树木跟什么十二宫天体运动都有关系。
There is a relationship between the pillars and the numerical features of the architecture.
所以这是很严肃的事情。
This is something very solemn.
在地上要执行天意。
We are trying to fulfill the will of heaven on earth.
天子要奉行天命。
And the Son of Heaven must fulfill the will of heaven.
交涉之理，谁祭上帝也？
And because of the earthly matters, we worship God.
天坛赎罪的时候是要得到上帝的喜悦。
The atonement of sin must get the pleasing of God first.
所以在北京的天坛里面。
And so in the heavenly altar.
王帝走到祭祀的地方的路的中间，一站一站，动物怎么样带出来，怎样杀，都有规律的。
There is a fixed principle how the emperor will approach the altar.
那这些都是要把地跟天连在一起。
These are all attempts to join earth with heaven.
成为中国文化里最重要的一件事，天人合一的事情。
It becomes the most important concept of the Chinese culture, how heaven and earth become one.
今天的圣经告诉我们
，The Bible today says,
摩西啊
，Moses,
你造会幕的时候，你只能照着天上所指示的样子。
When you build a tabernacle, you must do it according to the pattern that has been shown to you.
那么中国跟西方文化不同的地方在哪里
？What is the difference between Chinese and Hebrew culture?
中国是以人本的想象怎么样和天意。
The Chinese culture starts from human imagination.
西方文化是神指示，你只能照我的意思去做。
But the Hebrew culture comes from direction from God.
一个是神本的，一个是人本。
One is centered on God, the other centered on man.
虽然如此
，although this is the case，
被造有神形象的人，要对本体的追溯是一件很重要的文化的目标。
It's a very important cultural aim for the created human being to seek after the creator.
这也是宗教的本质里面一个很重要的一点。
This is also a very important essence in religion.
人盼望可以遵行天意。
We want to fulfill heaven's will.
人盼望可以真正明白神的计划。
We want to understand His plan.
那么神的计划是在地上或者在天上啊
？Is His plan on earth or in heaven?
当然，神的计划是在天上的运行在地上。
But of course, the will of God is in heaven, but fulfilled on earth. But if you treat what is on earth as absolutely good, you have made a big mistake. The author of Hebrews says to the Hebrews, the ministry you have on earth is not the source. It is not in God's eternal will. Your priest on earth cannot atone truly your sins. Their ministry leads them into tabernacle made by
man.
Only the ministry of Jesus brings him into the heavenly tabernacle. Thanks be to God. When we truly understand this biblical passage, we will know that everything in the Old Testament will pass away. Where then should our faith be directed towards? A new covenant. A better promise. A better covenant. A better mediator. This is what we see in verse 6. Thanks be to God. We have a mediator that is superior to the old one, founded on better promises, that we will have a better ministry. And after this passage is over, it brings us to the question, why do we need the New Testament? Dear brothers and sisters, the Christian Bible is called the Old and the New Testament. Does that mean that with the New Testament we can ignore the Old?
不是的,
no. What about the Jews? They only have the Old Testament. Because they don't think that the Old Testament is old. They think that it is accomplished by itself. Their Bible is not called the Old Testament. They think that their Bible is complete. Their priestly order is absolute. They think they are good enough to have a high priest. But this is not the case for us. Our Bible is Old and New Testament. Especially in Reformed theology, we believe that God is the God of covenant. Reformed theology is also called the theology of covenant. From the first page of the Bible to the last, we see God as faithful. He is a God that has covenant with men. By his faithfulness, by his unchanging nature, he has a covenant with
man.
And God had a covenant with Adam. He had a covenant with Abraham. Through Moses, he had a covenant with Israelites. This is the ministry in the Old Testament. God is a God of covenant. He's a God that will not go against his own word. He will be faithful to his covenant. And there are promises in the Old Testament. There are commandments within the promises. Every commandment comes with a promise. Not a single promise comes without a covenant. His promises and his commandment come together. What is a promise? A promise looks forward, not the back. It's not to the present, but for the future. When before something happens, the God that transcends time is able to see beyond, and so he gave us his promises. That is why covenant means. Because God is a God of covenant. Where is his covenant then? When you see 1 John chapter 2, you will see the true promise is eternal life.
就是永生。
His promise is eternal life.
这个很特别。
This is unique.
永生的上帝赐给我们永远的应许。
Eternal God gave us an eternal promise.
永生的上帝应许把永远的生命赐给我们。
The eternal God promised to give us eternal life.
这样的就不能在旧约里面成全。
It cannot be fulfilled in the Old Testament.
不能在旧约侍奉里面得到。
Not in its ministry.
不能在旧约献祭里面把恩典赐给我们。
Not in the sacrifice of the Old Testament.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为旧约的侍奉是在地上的帐篷。
Because this ministry is done in the tabernacle on earth.
旧约的侍奉者是能死的人。
The ministry is among people who will die.
祭司是有罪的祭司。
The priests are sinners themselves.
他们献牛的是献被造比人更低的牲畜做牛。
They give of offering that are made lower class than human beings.
所以将牛羊的血断不能除罪，在第四章就提出来。
The blood of the cattle and the sheep cannot get rid of our sin.
我们可以不可以凭着这个样式而忘记了那真题呢？
Can we look at the image and forget the source?
我们可以不可以凭着这个地上的侍奉而忽略了天上的侍奉？
Can we look at the ministry on earth and ignore that of heaven?
我们可以不可以满足于这地上会死的祭司而忽略了天上永远的祭司呢？
Can we be satisfied with a high priest that will die and ignore the high priest in heaven?
祭司是长远活着为我们祈求的祭司。
This high priest live forever interceding for us.
不是成为神人之间暂时的这个服侍者。
He is not a temporal servant between man and God.
他是更美之约的中保。
He is the mediator of the better promise.
更美的侍奉。
Have a better ministry.
是更美的应许。
Have a better promises.
所以这样神应许的永生只有在耶稣基督里面可以达到。
In this way, the promise of eternal life can only be found in Jesus Christ.
地上的侍奉快要结束的时候。
When the ministry of Christ was about to end on earth.
父讲一句话。
He said to the Father.
你说托付之地我已经成全。
That which you have given to me, I have accomplished.
我已经把永生赐给你所赐给他的人。
I have given eternal life to the people that you have given to me.
神把他的选民赐给耶稣基督。
God gave of his elect to Jesus Christ.
耶稣基督把永生赐给神所赐给他的选民。
And Jesus Christ gave eternal life to the elect that God has given to him.
基督的侍奉是把天上的完美带到世界中间来。
The ministry of Christ therefore is to bring the perfection of heaven to earth.
基督的侍奉是把神永恒的旨意成全在地上他身体献上为祭的这件事情上。
His ministry is to fulfill the will of God upon his own sacrificial life.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
基督到世上来的时候。
When Christ came to earth.
他对上帝说我来了是要遵照你的旨意行。
He said, I come to fulfill your will.
我的事在经卷上都已经记载了。
All that I'm going to do is shown in the scripture.
这句话什么意思呢？
What does this mean?
旧约所记载的也是把人指向新约要来的耶稣基督身上。
It means that the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ that is to come.
所以犹太人如果把旧约当作他们已经绝对满足的，这是完全错。
The Jews have made a mistake to be absolutely satisfied with the Old Testament.
因为有更美之约。
Because there's a better promise.
有新约。
There is a new promise.
有更美之约的中保。
There's a mediator, the better promise.
有更美的应许。
There are better covenants.
就是以后来的。
That is to come.
有大过以前来过。
Much greater than what we have right now.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
下个礼拜啊。
Next week.
我们就要讲为什么需要新约。
We want to talk about why we need the new covenant.
新约的意义是什么？
What is the meaning of the new covenant?
我相信了许多的基督徒，做了基督徒几十年，知道有旧约有新约。你问他为什么需要新约，他说因为需要新约，就是。
I'm sure many Christians do not know why we need the New Testament.
新约是谁讲出来的？
Who came out with the New Testament?
新约是谁成全的？
Who accomplished the New Testament?
第八章的第二段。
Chapter 8, second portion.
作者就告诉我们。
The author of Hebrew tells us.
愿上帝赐福给我们。
May the Lord bless us all.
给我们可以越深入、越周全、越详细、越准确的明白神话语中间的奥秘。
That we will understand the mystery of the Word of God in depth.
今天我就讲到这个地方。
I'm going to stop here today.
我们大家一同站起来。
Let us all rise.